Ramsey TV.
Outside, before I made this show, ladies and gentlemen, before I sat down to make this show, and this giant bug was bugging me, which is what bugs do. Like I said, I don't know what came first, the noun or the verb, but this noun was verbing me, and I was trying to swat it and get it out of the way, and it was flying up a little bit higher, and then this bird came out of nowhere and just swooped in and snatched it up and got a little hors d'oeuvre there. The little bird got a bug hors d'oeuvre, which I was happy to see. I was happy for me. I was happy for the bird. And the bug was relieved of being a bug. And I marveled at the instincts of this bird, the swiftness, and just the way God made this bird to be so quick, so sensitive to the presence of bugs. It's just an amazing thing. This is Martin Zender. You are at MZTV. This is the edge of the bottom of everything, but specifically the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. I'm happy to be with you. I missed being with you last week. Totally was a bummer not being able to talk to you, but I enjoyed looking at the Richmond, Virginia conference video. Some great stuff there, and want you to get some of those on YouTube. I posted them on Rumble originally, but I also want you to see them on YouTube because YouTube is the more popular platform. Many, many more people see my work on YouTube, and that's what I like. The more, the better. The more, the merrier. The more people get the gospel of grace, the happier they are. Delivered from religious fear, delivered from the religious compulsion to perform for God as if God is Simon Cowell, and I'm happy to be a part of all of that. All right, I'm going to give you a sneak preview into the end of this letter because I told you that Paul made the announcement earlier here that his bonds came to be for the furtherance of the evangel to the point that, well, just let me read to you his last statement at the end of this letter. This is astounding. Paul says this. Again, I'm giving you a sneak preview here, but you need to see this. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Greeting you are the brethren with me. With him. Well, he's got some friends hanging around with him at this point. Now, later, all in Asia forsook him. But this is a happy time, even though he's in jail. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Greeting you are the brethren with me. Greeting you are all the saints, yet especially those of Caesar's house. What? Wait a minute. Greeting you are all the saints, yet especially those, i.e. those saints of Caesar's house? Caesar's retinue? Caesar's cook? Caesar's butler? Caesar's masseuse? What? His personal secretary? Paul's message. Well, let's just put it this way. I mean, the message is great. The message is appealing. But the messenger in this case is so effective, so condescending to those of lesser station. He's living the truth of treat others better than yourself. Deem others to be better than you. That's a great way to live, and Paul's living it. I've always said concerning people who don't see this gospel yet, but they say that they can't stand church, they know something's screwy, they know that there are a bunch of hypocrites in the organized ecclesia, and I always give these people credit. I always say to them, you know, you have a better spiritual instinct. I say this even to atheists. I said, you have a greater spiritual instinct. The Spirit of God is in you, atheist ma'am or atheist sir. in order to cause you to stand on your feet. But I contend that you have more of the Spirit in you than those people sitting in the pews in the Christian religion. Because they are swallowing the hypocrisy, they're swallowing the BS, they're swallowing the doctrines of demons. Yet you, sir atheist, or you, madam atheist, see through that crap. Therefore, you have greater spiritual sensitivity. And I think Paul probably said something like this to his Roman captors and to those in Caesar's household. He said, well, at least you guys aren't the Jews hounding me down all the time, opposing God. See, atheists aren't opposing God. Well, in a way they are, but they're not actively opposing God. They're just saying, nah, I don't think there's a God. But they're not fighting God like the Christians are. The Christians are fighting against God and Christ by promoting a false God and a false Christ, along with the false teachings of the false God and the false Christ. So those who don't believe anything at least have seen the hypocrisy of religion, and they want no part of it. And again, you have to tell these people, as I do. Like Paul yesterday, I was telling you, Paul was deciding whether he wanted to be alive or to be dead. Which would be better? Well, if I live, it's better for the work. If I die, it's better for the cause of Christ. But you know what? I'm not choosing either life or death. I'm choosing a third thing, which is to be together with the Lord, i.e. the snatching away. That's what Paul's looking forward to. Likewise here, people don't realize there's a third option. They think, either in church or have to give up on God. That's what people think, because they assume that God is in church. They assume that Jesus Christ is a member of his own religion. He most certainly is not. So I am, for one, am pressed out of the two. Like Paul said, I'm pressed out of these two decisions into a third decision. Not living, not dying, being with Christ. It's a third thing. Well, there's a third thing besides church and giving up on God, and that is that God is outside the organized assembly. He's outside of it. And so you don't have to choose either church or giving up on God, because you don't have to give up on God when you give up on church, because God is not in the church. He's not in the ecclesia today. God is not making his home in man-made temples. So on we go in Philippians. Paul is longing for the solution to be together with Christ, but it rather is much better. Now, to continue where I left off to finish the week here, yet to be staying in the flesh is more necessary because of you. Oh, that's a great statement. And I can say the same thing. Now, I'm sure there was part of Paul that wanted to just lay down and be done with it. I've run the race, and he said this later in 2 Timothy, I've run the race, I've kept the word true, and now there's a wreath awaiting me for my suffering for the sake of the evangel. I think he was ready to just go to sleep. He was tired. He said, oh man, I'm done with this. But it was better for the people, because he knew that as soon as he left, as soon as his influence was gone, this happened even when he was alive, the deceivers crept in. Paul was a strong force. He was a defender of the evangel. And he didn't let anything. He was always on the parapet, always on the watch, looking for any sort of iceberg that would sink the ship of the believers, cause them to believe in a compromised evangel. The law will always compromise the evangel. The message of the circumcision gospel given to Peter and the 12 by the terrestrial Christ on earth, that will actually, if you mix it in with the gospel that the glorified Christ gave to Paul, it will compromise the evangel. Strong teachers and evangelists are needed to keep this from happening. When they're gone, when the strong man is gone, boom, opens the door for people to be seduced by human philosophy and seduction. Every seduction, and the main seductions come from religion. So Paul says, it's better for you if I'm here. And having this confidence, I'm aware that I shall be remaining and shall be abiding with you all for your progress. See, he does have a little bit of a premonition that he's not quite done yet as he's writing the letter to the Philippians, and he's not. To be staying in flesh is more necessary because of you, and having this confidence, I'm aware that I shall be remaining and shall be abiding with you all for your progress. This evangel is about growth. It's about coming to a more and more of a realization of the truth for your progress and joy of faith. Joy of faith. Paul, being a funny person, keeps this teaching from being drudgery. He keeps this from being something where you have to do your daily Bible reading. You have to make sure that every single day you're asking yourself, what would Jesus do? And you're living a life of bondage, really, in the flesh, walking according to flesh, measuring yourself against others according to flesh, and even measuring yourself against Christ according to flesh. That does not belong to joy. That belongs to misery. It belongs to stomach ailments. It belongs to heart problems. It belongs to depression. Paul says, I want to abide with you all for your progress and joy of faith. The joy of faith. The joy of faith in that it's so simple. The joy of believing something. It's not the joy of doing. It's the joy of faith. There is joy in recognizing that the faith that you have, being a fruit of the Spirit, brings other fruit of the Spirit. Faith is one of the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. No, it's not. No, wait. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Faith is not a fruit of the Spirit. Oh, this is good. Faith is the channel by which we apprehend the righteousness of God that has been given to us. And it's the faith, in a way, that produces the fruit. I mean, Christ produces the fruit, but it's the faith that we have in the faith of Christ, the faith that was given to us, the very faith we have that to believe in Christ was given to us, and it's that that produces fruit. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. So, Paul is longing for their progress and joy of faith, that your glorying may be superabounding in your progress. Nope, he doesn't say that. That your joy may be superabounding in your zeal. Nothing wrong with zeal, but Paul doesn't say that. That your joy may be superabounding in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And then Paul takes a little bit of credit for it here, which I like. Paul's not afraid to take some credit. Paul says, honor to whom honor is due. Listen to this. He wants to stick around. He wants to abide with them for your progress and joy of faith, that your glorying may be superabounding in Christ Jesus in me. Wow, what a bold guy. In Christ Jesus in me? That's what the guy says. Your joy may be abounding in Christ Jesus in me. Paul was like a lightning rod. I mean, this guy, he was a lightning rod and a radio tower at the same time. He was a lightning rod in that he attracted persecution because he was firm and sure. And he was a radio tower because he broadcast the grace of God. He broadcast peace, broadcast joy, broadcast not considering yourself anymore according to flesh. He broadcast a new creation in Christ. This is great. Your progress in Christ Jesus in me through my presence with you again, through my presence. The guy realizes that he's a force to be reckoned with. He realizes it. I realize I'm a force to be reckoned with. People don't like that. People don't like the confidence. But my confidence is not in myself. It's in Christ. Paul's confidence was in Christ. And yet, your progress in Christ in me. Hey, the guy's in the mix. You're in the mix. I'm in the mix. So let's not be little mice who crawl under the corner and say, oh, no, I'm just nothing. Well, in the salvation equation, you are nothing. And you have no confidence in flesh. But you are something by God. Yeah, literally, by God, you are something. And here's Paul mentioning himself right after he mentions Christ Jesus. He can do that because he knows he's a new creation, that his old flesh, his old humanity was crucified with Christ. It's the new I. Paul can use the pronoun I with impunity because he knows it's no longer I. He says this later. Does he say that in Ephesians or does he say this in Philippians, or does he say it in Galatians? It might be here. I'm not sure. Right? I die. I was crucified with Christ. Yet I live. Yet no longer I, but living in me is Christ. There it is. He's still an I, but his I is in Christ. It's not the old I, it's the new I. So now he can use the personal pronoun I without being thought of in his own mind as a braggart or somebody's trying to draw disciples to himself. No, he's just saying that I am a messenger of Christ. I'm being used by Christ. I am part of your joy, and I'm here, and I want to stay with you, and I want to be with you. I don't want to go away because I help you. I just love this guy. Love this guy. For your progress and joy of faith, that your glorying may be superabounding in Christ Jesus in me through my presence with you again. Only be citizens walking worthily of the evangel of Christ. This is an exhortation. People don't like Paul's exhortations. They think he's reverting to law. He's telling them now to walk worthily. Well, we've been all through this in the book of Romans. The only way you can possibly walk worthily is to give up on your flesh, to walk according to spirit, to look at Christ, to not consider yourself in accord with flesh anymore, to give up on it, consider yourself a new creation, not be troubled by your flesh, not be bothered by your bad habits, and just look to Christ. And a miracle happens when you do that. Because as I said in Richmond, I'm going to run that video again. The grace, gospel of grace has power. The grace which says, God speaking to us, I love you no matter what. No matter what you do, I love you. No matter what you do, I will not forsake you. That has power. Some people think, well, that just leads to license. You can't tell that to certain people. You can't tell the grace of God to certain people. They're going to take advantage of it and go cuckoo crazy in the flesh. Oh, no. The law makes you do that. The law makes you go cuckoo crazy in the flesh. The prohibition inspires the breaking of the law. Romans chapter 7. I had not considered coveting until the law said, thou shalt not covet. So, yes, we do want to be citizens walking worthily of the evangel of Christ, that whether coming and making your acquaintance or being absent, I should be hearing of your concerns and that you are standing firm. I love this. Standing firm in one spirit, one soul, competing together in the faith of the evangel. Oh, I want to go on here. It's so rich because what's coming up next is amazing. What's coming up next is one of my favorite passages in Philippians. I'll start with that on Monday. You got that to look forward to. But for now, Paul wants them to stand firm in one spirit, one soul, competing together in the faith. Competing not in works, but in faith. Because Paul knows that it's the faith, it's the channel that apprehends the righteousness of God, which produces the fruit, which includes joy. He knows that only by competing together in the faith, that is, I almost consider this to be the same as saying competing together in a realization of the truth, like he started this thing with, growing in realization. He who undertakes a good work will be performing it, causing you to understand it, which will, by understanding it, you will perform it. You don't perform it first, then understand it. You understand it first, then you will perform it by virtue of the understanding that of yourself you can do no good thing. Standing firm, one spirit. This is what I want for all of us. Standing firm in one spirit, one soul, competing together in the faith of the evangel. The faith of the evangel. The evangel is faithful. This message is faithful. This message of the grace of God, it's not going to forsake you. It's not going to change midstream. Paul's message isn't going to change from a word of grace into a word of condemnation. No, the gospel itself is faithful. And we have faith in that gospel because it was given to Paul by Jesus Christ himself. What better thing to have faith in? It's not going to forsake you. The God and Christ who brought it, they're not going to forsake you. Paul, if he were alive, he would tell you he's not going to forsake you. And I'm telling you today at the end of the week, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to take any days off. I'm going to herald till the snatching away of Jesus Christ. And I'm here with you, competing together in that faith. And I thank God for every single one of you. I wish I could thank you personally, every single one, but I'm thanking you corporately now for your love, for your prayers, for your support, as we all compete together in the faith of the evangel.